Today on Straight Talk Africa, the African Media Initiative. Its goal is to empower and strengthen the continent's private and independent media. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, June 25th. I am Shaka Salee.
And hello to you, Shaka.
And hello, Mariama.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll discuss the role of the African Media Initiative and examine how the organization works with private and independent media on the continent to underscore African voices and perspectives.
Well, quite an interesting topic with so much to say. Coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll hear from our audience who have weighed in on the issue through emails and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. So stay with us.
But first, the African Media Initiative is a pan-African organization with a clear agenda to improve the quality of media in Africa. My colleague Paul Sisko has more.
Mr. Amadou Mba is the outgoing chief executive officer of the African Media Initiative and one of its spiritual founders.
A couple of years ago, before MLF, there was no one single media event on this continent bringing together the media decision makers and, as a stakeholders, the fact that we are talking together, bringing everybody together to engage a discussion, whether we agree or not is not the problem. It's about engaging a discussion first. From there, progress comes.
Attempting to fill his shoes is Mr. Eric Chinje. His three-year term as CEO begins July 1st.
Media's role is central to the transformation of any society. And when we talk about the African Renaissance, we are talking about the transformation of our African societies.
The flagship event of the AMI is the annual African Media Leaders Forum, bringing together journalists and government and media leaders.
We may serve in different arms of government and society, but we all share a common goal to make our continent a better home for all of us.
AMI forums allow media owners and operators to share, debate, and explore issues and industry trends. African media face constant challenges. Among them are limited resources, government interference, and adapting to the hurdles and the opportunities of the digital revolution.
It's difficult for me as a journalist to have a visa to go and cover an event in another country. It's difficult for me as a journalist to have some equipment to mobilize, to do things on the proper way. For my media, if I want to send a short video in my country, it would be so difficult because internet is not so powerful. So our government should invest in this kind of project to facilitate the job as journalists in Africa.
Finally, the African Media Initiative is committed to improving ethics, media management, and journalism content. The organization's overall goal, simply put, is to fortify the continent's private and independent media sectors, and in so doing, promote democratic governance and economic and social development throughout Africa. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Eric Chinje, the new chief executive officer of the African Media Initiative based in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. The AMI represents over 600 of the continent's most important media corporations. The former editor-in-chief of Cameroon Radio and Television, Mr. Chinje, also has vast experience in corporate communications at the World Bank, the African Development Bank, and the Mo Ibrahim Foundation. Well, I have to say it's always a pleasure, of course, have you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka. Thank you. Great to be here.
You're most welcome. George Bright Ebu, founding editor of African Post newspaper, a monthly publication based here in the nation's capital. It reports on news from Africa and the African diaspora. Well, it's a pleasure, of course, to have you, at least for the first time,
yes,
on
sir.
Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
George.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Right.
And last but not least, Julius Muchunguzi, the Assistant Spokesperson for Africa at the Commonwealth Secretariat, who joins us from our London studios. He's also the author of The Story of Keeping Hope Alive, an autobiography of a kid who rose from humble beginnings in Kabale to a courageous, gifted, and visionary man whose lifetime highlights include meeting Queen Elizabeth of England. Well, Julius, you're most welcome back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Shaka, for having me, and greetings to your viewers and Eric and Bright, who are in the studios there.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Eric. The AMI has been actually doing its work for the last 4 years, correct?
Yes, 4 years of a corporate, acting as a corporate body. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, of course, it took another maybe 4 mm-hmm. to get it all together. So it's been in discussion and in actuality over the last 8 years.
So briefly, what would you say are some of the most important accomplishments so far?
Well, in terms of accomplishments, and this is, you know, in large part credit to my predecessor, Mr. Amadou Ba, Martha Ba, I would, you know, the very fact of refocusing global attention on the state of media in Africa, on media as a sector. You know, I've worked in institutions like the World Bank, development institutions, African Development Bank, where we engage with countries based on sectors, the health sector, the education sector, infrastructure sector, and so on. And somehow media was never quite seen as a sector within the global scope of development. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the engagement with media tended to be one-off, tended to be on a as-needed basis, and nobody quite looked at this critical sector within the development agenda and how it is playing out, what its role is, what its challenges are, what support is needed. And one of, I think, the most important achievement of AMI is refocusing that attention on one of the most important sectors in the development of the continent.
What about reaction from governments on the continent, of course from corporations, and from the ordinary African? Is the ordinary African consumer of news, for example, is he or her aware of the existence of the AMI?
The answer to that, again, you know, like in all initiatives, I think the answer would be neither a yes nor a no. I mean, there are there are those who are aware, who have to be aware. The vast world of media owners in Africa are fully aware of the existence of the organization, not only because as an organization we've succeeded in bringing them under one roof at least once a year to discuss the issues of media in Africa. And that meeting has become such a powerful instrument in the hands of media to engage with others. So we bring in heads of state, we bring in heads of development organizations, you know, to these meetings. And for the first time, there's a platform for direct engagement between the political leadership, the development experts, and media owners. So is it known in that world? Yes, for those who have to know it. But we've not really branded AMI globally within the continent. So I think there's work to be done at that level.
Now, George, tell us about, at least your knowledge about the AMI.
Well, I've read a lot about AMI, and I've also visited your website and learned something about the initiatives that they're trying to put up. And it's an issue of concern, especially when it comes to finding resources for African journalists, right? It's something that they are kind of handicapped, they don't know where to look at. But if we have a body that is going to facilitate that, I think it's a welcome idea. And also, you realize that a lot of African journalists need training as well. So talking about ethical issues is something that if they have this kind of body that is going to facilitate that with the African journalists, is something that is very welcome. And it's going to go a long way to change the way we do things in Africa.
Is it an initiative that you think you'd want to be part of?
Definitely. We learn new things every day. So I believe that if I have the opportunity to be part of this, right, I'll use the experience I have gained in the United States to be able to support journalists in Africa in bringing them up to wherever I have been able to get to.
Now, what about you, Julius, from your vantage point in London and indeed at the Commonwealth Marlborough House?
Thank you very much. I want to congratulate my elder brother, Eric Chinje, for taking up the mantle of the leadership of the African Media Initiative.
Okay.
I think the African Media Initiative is a very, very welcome initiative. It has been involved in the organizing of events, for instance, the Africa Media Leaders Forum, at which some of my colleagues at the Commonwealth Secretariat have attended, my former deputy director, my current director, Richard Uku. But also, what the African Media Initiative is doing rhymes with the objectives and some of the key values of the Commonwealth itself. Because in the current charter, the charter of the Commonwealth that was passed in December 2012, one of the key elements that the leadership of the Commonwealth committed itself is for the development and strengthening of a responsible, free, independent media. Because, and as Eric mentioned, independent media and free flow of information and journalism really is at the heart of a free society. It's at the heart of ensuring that people have the knowledge and the information they need to make decisions and to hold those in positions of power, both in politics and business, account. So from where I sit, we are very delighted to see the leadership of the African Media Initiative taking the initiative to greater heights. And we hope that it will continue to galvanize and draw attention of the world to the need to support independent media development on the continent. Because as we all know, media has always been referred to as the fourth estate, in meaning that it is one of the key elements of governance that ensures and fosters accountability and transparency. And so what the Africa Media Initiative is doing really helps to focus attention to support this very key important sector that, as Eric Chinje mentioned, has for a long time not been given the attention it so deserves.
Perhaps another important aspect that the AMI and the Commonwealth have in common, in fact, is promoting good governance. Is that correct?
That is very correct. That is very correct because, I mean, good governance in the broadest sense of the word, from affording citizens the opportunity to choose leaders that will make decisions on their behalf, to ensuring that there is accountability, to ensuring that there is transparency in the use of the resources that are available to citizens in the country. So really, there is a synergy, there is a nexus of interest and of values that both the African Media Initiative and the objectives and values of the Commonwealth as an organization are concerned. Because at the end of the day, for the Commonwealth, the main key goals of the organization is to support the promotion of democracy, sustainable development, and respect for diversity, which are key components of good governance.
I see. Well, before we pause for a short break, we'd like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is on the social networking website Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
The primary goal of the African Media Initiative is to promote the development of pluralistic media as a necessary and critical ingredient of democratic governance as well as economic and human development in Africa. It does so through a set of strategic activities aimed at transforming the media and communications landscape on the continent. AMI's five priority areas are strengthen the media owners and operators community, expand access to finance and new revenue streams, harness the digital revolution through technological adaptation and innovation, build a leadership group in the media sector through a commitment to improved ethics and management, and finally, content development.
Up nonstop, voafootball.com.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidui. Now, Eric, you and, in fact, all the three of you somehow mentioned something about independent media, promoting independent media. Briefly, if you could talk to us from the deepest, bitter part of the bottom of your Cameroonian heart and soul, what is an independent media, really?
Well, an independent media, in my view, is one that approaches the challenge of media, or actually approaches content of media from as independent a perspective as possible. We do know that there are a whole range of factors that determine the editorial direction of any news organization. There are a lot of factors, financial factors, capacity-related factors, pressures from policy-related factors, legal issues, and so on. All of these come into play when a news organization has to determine what it puts out to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an independent media, in my view, is not necessarily that privately run organization that does what it wants and gets away with it because the laws are lax.
Mm-hmm.
No, an independent media, in my view, is one that takes all of these factors into account but seeks to play that role, that essential role, that central role of media within society, which is to inform, to educate, and to entertain in as objective a manner as possible. Independent media and objectivity, in my view, are two a coin, both sides of a single coin.
Very interesting. What about you, George? Because there are two types of media, really. There is state-controlled media, and there is independent media, meaning, in fact, perhaps private media, correct?
Yes.
But if you work for a state-controlled media, you are answerable, of course, to your masters.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you work for a corporate media, you also, in a sense, you are answerable to the standards and the values mm-hmm. of that particular corporation.
Yes.
So is it really an independent media simply because it is not controlled by the government? Or is it perhaps something that provides another perspective of sorts?
Well, to add to a little bit to what he said, the role of media is to inform and educate. And my view of an independent media is one that is free of economic and political pressure. Political comes in, especially when we come to Africa, right? In the case of an independent, being able to be independent in this perspective, right, like you working for an organization, that you have to toe along the line of the organization, as it happens in Africa these days. And what normally happens is we have independent media in inverted commas, and this is what happens. Most of these independent private media corporations are not properly resourced. And they depend on their advertisement driven.
Mm-hmm.
They depend on other advertisement. And most of these come from corporations that is feeding them, because selling your newspapers off the street alone cannot be able to meet your personal expenses and your overheads. So you depend on adverts to be able to run it. So you are at the mercy of the government and institutions to control you. But you can have your own opinion, right? It's a personal issue.
An opinion, what sort of opinion would you have? An opinion as reflected perhaps in terms of facts, in terms of the real issues that are going on?
Well, what I want to say is facts are facts, right? Media can be stifled in some way, but, you know, it's an independent issue. There are people who are bold, like, you know what, forget everybody. I'm going to report it as it is, right, regardless. And it is likely that there's somebody who's also going to support such a person, that this is an honest media organization that will tell the truth regardless. So if they're not getting support from the government to run it as independent as they want to be, I am going to support them. And I believe there are organizations out there that are willing to provide that kind of support. So there is a tendency of having an independent media, even though it doesn't seem to exist, but it can exist.
Very interesting. Now, Julius, could you please weigh in this? You know, there is a saying that whoever pays the piper calls the tune. If that is true, then how do you in the world find a person or a media organization that reports the news without fear or favor?
Thank you. I think really that from what I see, independent media for me is beyond ownership. Ownership is one of the components, but really I think independent media is that kind of media institution that allows for independent journalism to happen, meaning that It's a media environment that provides for the journalists to do their work and to pay their ultimate allegiance to the truth and to the citizens to whom they collect, gather, process, and disseminate news and information. I think there are situations where media institutions that may not necessarily be privately owned kind of create conditions where journalists actually produce content that is independent in nature, that is objective, that focuses on the issues, that is devoid of external, all those influences that have been mentioned by my colleagues. So I think we need to be developing a perspective that drives the question and issue of independent media development to encompass many components beyond ownership, beyond government, beyond private and business interests. Because you can be in a privately owned media institution and you still are unable to practice independent journalism. Absolutely. So I think independent media is that media that affords journalists to do their work and do it independently and pay their ultimate allegiance to the truth and to citizens and readers and audiences.
I see. Eric, talk to us a bit about your funding, your sources of funding for the African Media Initiative.
Yeah. Well, you know, just before I get to that, it's, you know, the question on independent media is important to us because that's ultimately where we are going in our work. We're trying to build independent media in Africa. We're trying to strengthen independent media in Africa. And the way to do that is to address the range of issues that media in Africa face, mm-hmm. whether they be publicly owned, and I'd rather we, you know, use that term, or they're privately owned. We can find that middle ground where independent media operates. And as I said, and Julius has said it, and you know, I'm sure you've emphasized that point too. We need media that has the ability to project the truth, and I like the, you know, that choice of the word, mm-hmm. you know, so that we give our public in Africa not only a deeper understanding of the issues, but we create an environment where they can make those choices based on an informed understanding of the issues around them that ultimately determine the nature of governance that we have on the continent. You know, and so we're working towards that kind of media. We're working towards generating support at the level of capacity building. We're working towards you know, generating support for content production on the continent, developing support for the financing, new avenues for funding media on the continent so that they're not caught within, you know, the scope of any single entity that wants to influence the general public. Now, to answer your question, AMI is essentially funded by those we call donors. And so there are quite a good number of them, or a few of them, I'd say. You know, there's NORAD from the Norwegian government, the Development Agency of Norway. NORAD is one of our major funders. The Gates Foundation on media. We do get support from the African Development Bank of sorts. We get support from the Konrad Adenauer Foundation.
The Germans.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and a range of others. And now we also get support from our owners, from the media owners on the continent. So they're beginning to weigh in. So we're beginning to get to a point where we can generate meaningful support from the continent itself, mm-hmm. so that we're not a donor-dependent organization, as has often been the case with African organizations.
How do you respond to someone who might say that if you look at the source of your funding and you also look at your objectives or your goal, really, which is to empower, you know, independent media, really, so to speak, that there is perhaps a sort of perception of an apparent conflict of interest?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. And I hope it's not a conflict of interest. I hope, the real challenge we have is whether or not the funding agencies and AMI have a meeting of the minds over the nature of programs that we not only implement, but those that we support even through other organizations. That is the challenge. Do we have a common objective with mm-hmm. with our funders? And I have, in my preliminary discussions, invited some of the donors I've spoken with, I've invited them to a deeper reflection on what we are doing, mm-hmm. and what Africa needs, what the African media actually needs. And are we meeting those needs? And if we are not, what room do we have? Maneuvering room do we have to expand our programs to respond to those needs? That's the bigger challenge we have. And I think, you know, most organizations on the continent that are donor dependent have to also do a similar exercise, you know, take that step back and mm-hmm. look at what they're doing, and if it's in phase with what Africa needs. Let me say this before,
seconds.
Yeah. Africa is undergoing a major transformation. The continent is. Economic and political transformation. Is the African journalist playing his or her role? Are African media living up to the expectations within that context? And that's the bigger question. We can explore that further if you want.
Does the African journalist consider himself or herself as a servant of nothing but the truth?
Good question.
You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding feedback we've received from our viewers and listeners. In the meantime, here is our letter of the week.
Gasore Emmanuel from Lilongwe in Malawi writes, I don't think it's possible to have good governance and democracy without an independent media. Democracy is when all human rights are served, including the right to communicate and be informed. People in a democratic society need to be actively involved in community issues. This can only happen if there is a free and independent media, and this has not been 100% achieved. We need to fight for a free and independent media.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're gonna get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call us collects and we'll pay for the call. Or call directs and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. For much of the 1990s and early 2000s, many African nations struggled toward democratization. Many countries promoted democracy and good governance, but not really supporting freedom of the press. Democratic elections were being held in countries such as the Gambia and Ethiopia, but the media there has often been restricted and controlled by government censorship. Some analysts say that press freedom does not guarantee an honest election, but it does help in building transparency for those in leadership who want to play a clean card for posterity to judge. With all that said, let's look at our question of the week, which asks, is it possible to have good governance and democracy without an independent and free media? Well, first, thank you for using all our media, social media platforms to let us know what you think. We'll begin with a comment from Precious Atanga in Bamenda in Cameroon, in Eric's place, neck of the woods, who writes, there can never be good governance and democracy in the absence of independent media. It is only an independent media that can also speak on behalf of the people. Well, another comment comes from Jasper White in Monrovia, Liberia, who says, no, it's not possible to have good governance and democracy without an independent media. The press plays the role of the watchdog in calling the government's attention to issues that affect citizens. The media also gives a voice to the voiceless. Well, the emails are pretty self-explanatory. The media does play the role of a watchdog. It also informs the public on issues it would normally catch if it wasn't for journalists reporting it. The real question is, why does all of that seem to fall on deaf ears when it's convenient for the government to do so? Shaka.
George, how do you react to that?
Well, what they're saying is true. There can never be democracy without an independent media, because the media serves as a watchdog to the society. They have to bring out the truth, right? If media is being stifled in our countries, well, the truth can never be out. Right now, it's only media that is bringing out the real story about Africa, things that are happening, right? The media are able to go to the villages, the places that other foreign media might not be able to get to. So we have to be able to go there and then feed. Right now, I think it's we have a little leeway because of technology, right? At first, you have to relay to a national head office, but right now, because of social networking, people are able to communicate in a better way and independently rather than going through government. So it's like their identity is even hidden in the background. People can post things on Facebook and an unknown identity. And then it calls, the stories that it puts calls for investigation. So once you call for investigation, we are likely to go to the background and find out the real truth as to what is really happening in the country. So we're bringing Western nations' attention to what is going on in our various countries. So technology has bridged the gap that people's cell phones are able to get signal from remote villages and report on activities of terrorists and other organizations that are perpetrating harm on the people of Africa. Mm-hmm. So these things are coming out.
But looking at
Mariama, please share some more of our audience feedback.
Just wanted to drop in and ask a quick question about that. On the other side of looking at the advances of technology and social media in general, just curious to hear about the other side, meaning the fact that almost everybody has a blog, you know, everyone has a website. How do you actually assure that some of the stuff that's being reported is the truth? What do you make of that, guys?
Julius, are you there?
Yeah, let me come in on that, Shaka. You see, what everybody has, what the feedback we are getting from social media platforms are saying, and what Mariama has said, really points to the critical importance of technology and how technology is providing the opportunity for ensuring greater accountability for both the media and the journalists themselves and the public. The Commonwealth sends observers to observe elections in member countries, and in Africa we have 18 African countries in the Commonwealth, and I've been fortunate to be on a number of observer missions to a number of these places. And I have seen the nexus, the convergence of technology, of the old media, for instance, radio and television, and the emergence of the use of the mobile phone, help to force and foster greater openness and greater accountability. And I'll give you one example. I was in a certain country, and a certain politician was in the studio being interviewed, like the way you are doing, Shaka, right now. And the politician laid out the number of things that they claimed had been done in a particular constituency. And when they opened the floodgates of the phone calls, somebody called and said, I'm calling from this village where the person is saying that they have built a bridge. And I just want to say one thing. The person in the studio is lying. There is no bridge here, and that man has never been around. And he said, that is all I have to say. And this was a villager, somebody deep in the village. Now, what that shows really is that the media, the growth of new media and the convergence of old and new media are providing, because at the end of the day, really, independent media and independent journalism is supposed to serve the public. And now the public is as important in this equation as the journalists and the media themselves. So what is happening is that for democracy and freedom of expression is available both for the journalists, for media practitioners, and for citizens. And when we realize that, it raises the bar of the practice of journalism and the practice of independent journalism and independent media, and I think that is a good thing, because then truth becomes available to all.
I think your point is well made, Julius.
Well, we'll move on.
Let's go for the next feedback.
Well, we'll move on to another posting from Francis Doto Muluge from Morogoro in Tanzania, who writes, it is impossible to have good governance and democracy without an independent and free media, especially in Africa. An independent and free media is vital to make people aware of what is being done by the people in power, which is exactly what today's discussion is all about. Let's look at another posting while we are at it from Kasawa Stephen in Uganda, who says, it's impossible since the media plays a pivotal role in disseminating the strengths and weaknesses of society and the government. Unlike in Uganda, where media freedom is denied, as seen by frequent arrest and detention. Well, that's right up your alley, Shaka, talking about Uganda's press freedom here. What do you make of it?
Eminently underqualified to weigh in, but let me go to the man who happens to be in charge of the African Media Initiative. You know as well as I do that there have been situations on Africa, and indeed, you know, globally, where governments sometimes use the law to undermine democracy. Now, these same people are also smart enough by trying to use these methods of supposedly having what they call, quote unquote, independent media because it is not controlled directly by the state, in a sense to hoodwink the development partners, because in fact, they are the ones that they are answerable to not necessarily to their own people.
Yeah.
How do you deal in a situation like that, where a government minister makes sure he has a private radio station owned by his brother or daughter or relative or friend or supporter, and portrays that as an independent aspect of the media?
You know, we're seeing this phenomenon growing across the continent right now, where people in power flip over and become private media owners. And that's why I make the difference between private media and independent media. And I believe that the way we can, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. These fellows in power have access to resources that most ordinary people don't have access to. And once they have those resources, they can play with them as they wish. And that's what they've tended to do, especially in an age where the global community is looking at countries and saying, are they democratic or they're not? So governments hide behind, you know, independent or private media and create the semblance of freedom of speech and of the press. I believe we've got a duty to try to address that as an original organization that we are, the African Media Initiative. And the way, in my view, to do that is to be, you know, we're promoting a number of things. We're promoting guidelines, ethical guidelines. You know, that's one of our major programs, you know, leadership and ethics. We have a major program on leadership and ethics where we've agreed with media owners and top editors of the continent on what it will take, what should the journalist, what should the media organization accept as the minimum in terms of ethics and leadership. We have programs on building capacity. We're organizing a wide range of programs across the continent on that. We're putting in place systems for developing content that is free of these editorial imbalances. We're working very assiduously, and we're going to be addressing that during the next meeting of the African Media Leaders Forum, on how we can bridge the gap between the financing of media and the advertiser, you know, between media houses and the world of the advertiser. You know, right now in many countries, there are no systems in place for measuring audiences. There are no systems in place for measuring circulation. And the advertising that most news organizations have tend to come from either friendly businesses or even from governments. There are countries where governments are responsible for funding a lot of media. A typical example is Liberia, a country where most of the private newspapers are funded by various people in the public sector.
We'll come to that later. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thanks to everyone, of course, appreciating all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can just simply join our YouTube channel. Just subscribe to VOA TV to Africa. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, the 23rd African Union Summit is underway in Malabo, the capital of Equatorial Guinea. We'll discuss the summit's key points and more next week right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Tafa. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello, good evening, Michelle. How are you?
You're terrific. How are you in Accra?
Accra is very great, my brother.
What is your question, sir?
Tafa, my question to your guest is that yesterday we all witnessed what happened in Egypt. Three journalists have been jailed for no crime committed. Now, since yesterday, I monitor most of the media houses across Africa, such as sub-Saharan Africa. It seems to me they are not concerned about what happened there. But my question now to you is that don't they think that what happened in Egypt yesterday, involving the dictators, to start harassing more journalists across Sub-Saharan Africa? Please. Yes, that is my short question to ask you again. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. George, did you get to the question?
I didn't quite get the question. Yes, you're talking about journalists being harassed in Africa. Was there any story published online about that?
In a specific
Locality?
Well, we'll come to that. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. Today we are discussing the role of the African Media Initiative and examining how the organization works with private and independent media on the continent to underscore African voices and perspectives. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. Biggest country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
According to the Reporters Without Borders 2014 Press Freedom Index, wars and terrorist threats weaken the media in Africa, leading to various forms of censorship. Somalia, Eritrea, Sudan, Djibouti, and Ethiopia all have tightly controlled press. The Somali militant group Al-Shabaab has targeted journalists as unwanted witnesses of its terrorist methods. 7 journalists were killed in 2013. Eritrea is currently detaining 28 journalists. Press freedoms are rising back to normal levels in Ivory Coast, Malawi, and Uganda, according to the index. Promising press freedom gains are also being made in Senegal, Liberia, Niger, Namibia, Cape Verde, and Ghana.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizuya, and welcome back. If you have just joined us today, we are discussing the role of the African Media Initiative and examining how the organization works with private and independent media on the continent to underscore African voices and perspectives. Our distinguished guests are Eric Chinje, Chief Executive Officer of the African Media Initiative, based here in the nation's capital, based actually in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. The AMI represents over 600 of the continent's most important media corporations. George Bright Ebu, founding editor of African Post newspaper, a monthly publication based here in the nation's capital that reports on news from Africa and the African diaspora. And last but not least, Julius Mchunguzi, assistant spokesperson for Africa at the Commonwealth Secretariat, who joins us from VOA London Studios. He's also the author of The Story of Keeping Hope Alive, an autobiography of a kid who rose from humble beginnings in Kabale to a courageous, gifted, and visionary man, whose lifetime highlights include meeting Queen Elizabeth of England. Queen Elizabeth II, of course. Well, I have to go to the lifeline of the show. Good evening, Alex from Tanzania. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hi, Shaka. Good evening. How are you?
I am terrific. How are you today?
Very fine. Dar es Salaam is fine. Shaka, Alex Kasengo, calling from Dar es Salaam. My question, I think my friend from West Africa asked the question, but it was not properly quoted. Mm-hmm. I think I have the same question. Actually, it's about the journalists who were jailed in Egypt.
Yes.
A very harsh punishment. Seven years in jail.
Yes.
Including Australian.
And now on 10.
What is going on? We are seeing the Australian government talking about their person. They are fighting very hard for their journalists to be released. But for the Africans, those guys are Egyptians. No one is talking about it. And I didn't know that we have the body, African Media Initiative, which can stand for them to release them.
Thank you.
So,
I think.
Would you please tell us how are they going to fight for those people? We don't want them to rot in jail.
Thank you.
We need them to be out so that they keep us.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. What about that, Eric?
Yes, very good point, Alex, and thank you for asking. The African Media Initiative has been in the forefront of the fight, not only to maintain, to sustain our freedoms, but to ensure that those who suffer as a result of it get the attention they deserve, and we try in every which way we can to intervene and intercede on their behalf. The AMI has worked with authorities in Burundi to get a journalist out who was condemned to life imprisonment. Mm. We've worked with authorities in Ethiopia, and we continue to do so to address the issues of press freedom in that country. There is a plan in place right now to engage with Egyptian authorities. I mean, we were all waiting to see the outcome of the legal process in Egypt. And one of the major issues we have on our table right now is how to engage with Egyptian authorities to address that problem. So it's part of the, look, you know, we talked about a continent that is on the move, a continent that's about to make have this historic transformation.
Is there a way you, as the African Media Initiative, can pressurize perhaps some of your member media organizations to figure out a way of either persuading or sensitizing or being diplomatic or pressuring governments to begin accounting to their own people rather than accounting to their development partners, really?
Well, you know, there are lots of governments that are, governments across the continent that have various levels of engagement with the media. And what the AMI has done this far, and again, we are one of many actors on this stage, but what we've done is have this direct engagement, subtle in some cases, where we've had engagements where we cannot even discuss with our own board, with our own stakeholders, immediate stakeholders, but that dialogue is going on. It's ongoing, and it's the best way we can. You know, we kind of take it on a case-by-case basis. We cannot take on the Egyptian authorities, for example, but we can work with fellows close to them to engage in that process.
Now, Julius, let me come to you. First, what was the purpose of writing Keeping Hope Alive, and how has it been received in the places where it has been launched so far?
Thank you, Sheka. I wrote the story of Keeping Hope Alive to share my story and my experiences, especially through the lens of the many people that I have met along the way who have held my hand, touched me, given me their shoulders, as you normally say, so that I could be able to do and be what I am today. So the book really, the motivation for writing the book was to provide mentorship, provide inspiration, and provide motivation to many young people that may think that their circumstances may necessarily define what their future holds, to show them that a young boy who was selling fish on the shores of Lake Victoria and was burning and selling charcoal could, through the support of so many people, and through mentorship and through career guidance, could at least make some headway. So really the main objective was to share my story told through the experiences of the people that I have met and the impact that they have had on my own story and on my journey. And of course, you know that a number of those people, one of them includes yourself. You may have forgotten, but when you came to Kigezi High School in southwestern Uganda in 1995, and you spoke to that group of young people in high school, and you told us to aim to be number one, that there was no place for number twos, that when the final whistle is blown, that the cameras will only go to the winning team. You were speaking it in that context, but for me, I took it personal, and I held my heart to it, and I have seen the power of words that we tell people. So that was the purpose. The reception has been very good. The young people that are reading it are writing back to me to say, we only see the final product, but we did not know that behind what we see, there has been a journey. And so I wrote it to share that journey, and I'm pleased with the response.
Your book is truly authentic, and I have to say congratulations. And frankly, thank you for being so kind. And I have to say I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled for your compliments.
And it would be interesting to know if it's available on Amazon, the book, you know. But congratulations, Julius. We're really, really proud of you, a young brother who's come this far.
Now, before we go, because really the gist of the story here was supposed to be the African Media Initiative. First of all, tell us about the vision thing in about a minute and a half. What is your vision for it, and how will you consider yourself a success, really?
Yeah.
What do you have to accomplish?
Thank you very much. I believe that this our continent is on the cusp of historic change. But Africans, in their vast majority, are not a part of the dialogue. They're not a part of that movement. They don't understand it. They need the elements, not only to understand it, but to make the kinds of choices in their individual daily lives that will ensure that this continent we are at this fork, that we don't take the wrong road. Because if we miss this opportunity, things might be worse down the road for the continent than they've ever been. So one of the things I want to do is to have an honest discussion with media owners, with communications professionals across the continent. Are we conscious of our role to support this movement? We are at a historic turning point. Are we ready to be a part of the movement? Are we ready to do what media has to do, which is engage citizens in an important, informed dialogue? Are we doing that? And if the answer is no, what can we do to make sure that we do that? And I want AMI to be the catalyst for this. Mm-hmm. So I will be reinforcing a lot of the ongoing programs, but there are a number of things we are not doing. We are not leveraging the power of media as we should. So I'm thinking of some creative ways of doing that. This is all happening at a time when the technology to do that is available to us. So why aren't we bringing all of that together? The technology, finding the necessary resources, coming together as a collective so that we're not individual media units unable to articulate a collective vision. Can we come together more through technologies and do and improve the quality of what we do so that our continent can be served? That's the mission.
I know that you have done a lot of things in the past, Eric, but when you compare and contrast, how does this weigh as an opportunity for you?
I've been asked, people have come to me to say congratulations, and I've said, well, I thank you for congratulating me, but what I need the most are your prayers.
Unfortunately, time is not our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Eric Chinje, Chief Executive Officer of the African Media Initiative, George Bright Abu, founding editor of African Post newspaper, a monthly publication based here in the nation's capital, reports on news from Africa and the African diaspora. And last but not least, Julius Muchunguzi, the author of The Story of Keeping Hope Alive, and assistant spokesperson for Africa at the Commonwealth Secretariat. He joined us from our London studios. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of Africa America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning is Daybreak Africa with James Bate. Also, don't forget, tune in to Voice of America's Africa 54, 30-minute daily TV magazine program that features what's trending in news, health, sports, and lifestyle. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.